This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is entitled Building Lives Through the Adult Sunday School with Gabe Rule. Brother Rule oversees the Adult Sunday School Ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he's a graduate of West Coast Baptist College.
It's my privilege to co-labor with our teachers and to be the front line of ministry in many ways. As you heard in the general combined session, the Sunday School is the church organized to fulfill the purpose and the mission of the church. And so really everything the church is striving to do in the context of reaching people, teaching people, and ministering to people, we're doing our best to do on a daily basis right through the adult ministry, specifically the adult Bible classes. And so we thank the Lord for that opportunity. It's a passion of mine. I love every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is the favorite hour of my week. And I love being in my class. I love teaching. I love being around the people. I love seeing what the Lord is doing in the lives of people and new Christians and so forth. And it's exciting and it's a privilege. And it's a privilege to be here. And I recognize today that I'm teaching teachers that maybe some of you have taught longer than I've been alive. But I'm grateful for you being here, for your faithfulness, for your experience, and for your sensitivity and desire to continue to learn. And I pray today that something shared will be a help and be an encouragement to you. How many in here teach an adult Bible class? On a weekly basis, you are teaching an adult Bible class. All right, great. Thank you. How many of you in here are leading all of the adult Bible classes? That would be under your role, either as a volunteer or paid staff member. You're leading all of adult ministries. Okay, fantastic. Great. And how many of you here are just lost and got in the wrong session or something? But I hope today will be a blessing to you on a practical and applicable level. I am not a top shelf type speaker or presenter or idea creative. I'm a bottom shelf, just put your hand to the plow and go get the work done. But I hope some things practically can be shared that you can take home. And I don't know about you, when you go to conference and you get all fired up and you get excited, and we need to be recharged and we need to be inspired. But when we go home, it's nice to be able to take something with you that you can use. And that's really what this session is designed to accomplish, is put some ideas in your toolbox or give you some resources, Lord willing, that will be helping and a blessing to you practically that you can use in your ministry. And we're going to speak today about developing committed class members. And you have a handout and some resources that we'll refer to shortly, and I hope and pray that they will be a blessing to you. And again, let me just thank you for being here at the conference, specifically for being in this session, for co-laboring even in distant cities and states and maybe around the world in the effort of reaching people, teaching people, and ministering to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray, and we'll jump right into our time together this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you, and we're so grateful to assemble together on this campus this week for the purpose of hearing from thee, being challenged to launch out into the deep at your word, and cultivating the I will response. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that we're enjoying here with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, who love people, who know again and again the power of the cross and the difference that it can make in the lives of people, and who desire to see that message shared with every person drawing breath today. And God, I pray that you would bless this session. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit and your power. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these moments that we have together, that indeed we would redeem the time. And Lord, as we are here with your resources and on your time, that we would get the most out of this time, that we could leave here with a greater passion, a greater fervency and intensity about your work. Lord, with some tips and some tools that might help us be a bit more effective in what we're doing. And I truly pray that this session and this week would be a time of iron sharpening iron. So Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, for the hope that we have in an eternity in heaven with you someday, for the privilege to serve you and to serve people. And God, we pray today that you would help us do that in a greater way, with a greater capacity and a greater ability and fervency for you. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about developing committed class members. And the philosophy, and we'll not spend a lot of time on that, regarding the adult ministries and adult Bible fellowships of Lancaster Baptist Church could be found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Familiar to you for sure, where the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that's the commission that He gave His disciples, and that's the commission that we undergird even today in desiring to go, to tell, to win, to baptize, to teach, to make disciples. And that's really the call to every Christian, and that's what we're striving to do right here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and that's what you're striving to do, where you're serving the Lord in your community and in your area as well. And as we do that through the adult Bible fellowships, and that's really where the church is structured here, and it is a huge help. I was reading recently about people in an affinity group, and they say that the average person going to church has no larger affinity group than 50 people. You may know a lot of people, you may know a lot of names, but how well do you really know the people in church? And they say that somebody really gets to know about 50 people from the church in which they attend. And so as you develop these groups, these small groups, these Sunday school classes, these adult Bible fellowships, you're developing these groups where people are connected and they're growing each and every day in the knowledge of the Word of God. And as we do that, we want to develop committed class members. We want people that stick around. We want people that are fervent. We want people that are faithful. We want people that are fruitful. We want to see mature Christians that are accomplishing something great for the Lord. And there's a lot we have to do with that. The old adage, you cannot make a horse drink the water, but you can put salt in the oats. And as we think about serving adults, we understand that the Spirit has to do His work. But no doubt as the teacher and as the leader, maybe the one that's teaching the class or helping the class or leading the entire adult ministry as a whole, there's a great responsibility on our shoulders to help cultivate the right environment that this type of growth can take place. And so this is what we're going to look at in this session, and we're going to begin very practically minded. But hope and pray some ideas that are shared will be helping and blessing to you. So where do we get developed, or how do we develop committed class members? Well, first of all, I want us to look at the meeting of committed class members. The meeting of committed class members. And by that I mean the first impression of your ministry, the first impression of your class, the first impression of your adult ministry, the first impression of your personal ministry. Developing class members begins with getting class members. So how are we doing on the front line of it? How are we doing in meeting these people? And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And sometimes there's criticism about, you know, organized religion and structure and schedules and all of that. And I don't know about you, I'd rather have organized religion than disorganized religion. And I'd rather have a time where we're getting the most out of it and redeeming the time than just getting together and feeling better about ourselves, but wasting some time in the work of the Lord. And so we want to have order and we want to have structure about our adult ministry so that we can keep these people to even have an opportunity to commit them. Many churches, the problem is not getting the new people. The problem is keeping the people long enough so that we can develop them into committed people. So what are some things we can do on the front end in the meeting of these committed class members? And I like this quote by Albert Einstein, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." Your leadership, my leadership, is perfectly designed to produce the results we're getting. Your leadership, my leadership, is perfectly designed to produce the results I'm getting. So if I don't like the results I'm getting, then here's where I have to start. The guy that I look at in the mirror in the morning, that's where I have to start and get along with the Lord and to begin to study and to begin to develop and to begin to grow and to begin to stretch and begin to launch out as we're being challenged this week. Why? Because it really rises and falls on leadership, as Dr. Lee Robertson coined the phrase. And so we want to make sure that we're looking here and saying, Lord, help us to grow and to stretch. And no doubt there's a heart for that in your being here today. So how can we meet these committed class members, this first impression? Well, first of all, letter A, they need to be greeted. They need to be greeted. And again, this is very practical, and we'll try not to spend too much time here, but it's important for if you're a teacher, this is important. Why? Because before they ever meet you, before they ever hear your lesson, before anything of that nature happens, somebody meets them. Have you ever maybe walked outside your classroom or outside your church lobby or church foyer or the church front doors and saw somebody and said, oh boy. It would have to be them that's out there today. You know, this is the last person we want as the first impression of our ministry to the people that arrive today. And so it's important how your guests are greeted as they come to your class and to your church. And I want to encourage you to greet them with a smile. To greet them with a smile. It's important that your greeter of your class, specifically in the context of this session, but for your church, is a very friendly person. Why? Because it speaks volumes to the people who are attending your class, and especially who maybe are first-time guests to your class or to your church. You want someone whose first impression radiates that they're a nice person and that we are glad that person is there. Sometimes guests come to churches and they feel like they're not even wanted, because we've got the us for no more mentality going, and we're connecting and clicking with the people we already know, and these poor folks that finally came because somebody invited them to church or tracked on the door or an ad in the paper or whatever means it was that led them there, and now they're there and they feel like they're not even wanted. So being greeted is incredible. Now, as you develop a class greeter, no doubt probably a volunteer for your class or for your church, I want to encourage you to train them. Volunteers want direction. But oftentimes, we don't give them direction. It's imperative as we enlist volunteers that we direct them, that we train them. I was at a conference recently, and they were asking the speaker, what's the percentage of teachers that come to your monthly training meetings? He said, they all do. And they kind of looked at him and said, well, how'd you do that? He said, well, I told them when I signed them up that that was part of it, and if they don't come, they stop teaching. And I wrote that down. I said, that's the way to do it right there. The problem is not the volunteer. The problem is the leader. The problem is me. I didn't enlist them right. I didn't train them right. I did not give them the right direction. There's a sign in the McDonald's that says, we expect all of our employees to smile at you. If you're not smiled at while you order is being taken, you get a free drink or a free French fry. Now, why would a McDonald's put a sign up in their establishment like this? Because they know the power of a smile. And we need smiling, friendly, welcoming greeters for our classes and for our churches. According to Paul Ekman, the professor emeritus at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California, said, we can pick up a smile from 100 feet away. A smile lets us know that we are going to get a positive reception, and it's hard not to reciprocate. And so we want to make sure that as folks arrive to our classes and to our campuses and to our ministries, that they are greeted with a smile. And then I want to encourage them that they're greeted with excellence. Everything you do speaks. We think about teaching adult Bible class, and we think about study and teaching the lesson. And I'm for it. It ought to be well studied. It ought to be biblically oriented. And it ought to be to the best of our ability. If you were here Sunday night and heard the message by Dr. Tom Farrell, and if not, I encourage you to listen to it online, but the illustration at the end of the lady and the two babies and how she gave the healthy one to her God. Why? Because her God demands her best, and would be to God that all of us as the servants of God would say, I'll not do anything for my Savior unless it's my absolute very best. And so it certainly should be that way as we go to the lecterns on Sunday and teach the Word of God. But it's not just the lesson that speaks. In fact, sometimes everything else spoke so loudly they never hear the lesson. Because they weren't greeted, because nobody cared they showed up, because they had no idea where to sit, because nothing else spoke as we would want it to speak, that when it came time to accomplish what we really want to accomplish, the door was already closed. And so we want to be reminded that everything speaks. And I want to encourage you, a lay teacher, staff teacher, organizer of adult ministry, whatever your role may be or represent here in this room, do what you do with excellence as unto the Lord. God's business is the greatest business in all the world, and it ought to be treated that way. And may you and I do what we do as a labor of love unto the Lord. And so we want to greet them with excellence. And so they need to be greeted. Then how do we meet these potential committed class members? Well, letter B, they need to be directed. They need to be directed. And the second step in a successful pre-class contact where you're trying to connect and to contact them is to make sure they know where to go. And you want to make it simple. You want to make it quick. You want to make it easy to understand. But they need to know where to go. So if you're enlisting a class greeter whose job is to stand outside in front of the door and have a big smile and have a breath mint and have hair that's combed and clothing that's pressed and a stack of bulletins and a warm handshake and handle the bulletins and greeting them there, you want that infectious first impression greeting as you come in. But then as the person enters into the class or to the church, especially a guest or returning guest, where do they go? And you want to make sure that they are directed. One of the handouts that we gave you as you came in is an article regarding follow-up and outreach and so forth. And this was an article that I read months ago, and it was a challenge to me as they were giving ideas about following up. And some of these I was already doing, but some of them I had not thought of. And some of them were so simple and they were free. And so we began to kind of study, how could we utilize these ideas? How could we make our follow-up more effective? And then we kind of backed the train up a bit and said, hey, if we're going to implement any of this follow-up, we need to make sure that we know everything about our guests that they're willing and comfortable in sharing. And so in every one of our adult Bible classes, we use a Life Stages connection card. And you have a sample of that in your outline as well. And I would encourage you to use this. You say, well, our church has a visitor card and we do it all through the auditorium. And that's great. So do we. But we do it in the Adult Bible Fellowship as well. Why? Because when somebody visits our class, I want to make sure we get all the information. And I'll tell you, one position we have trained is this position right here. I have someone in my adult Bible class, their entire job every Sunday morning is identifying first-time guests, giving them the card, making sure it gets filled out completely, accurately, and legibly, and making sure we get it back. If we have to, you know, find them in the parking lot after church, whatever it takes, we're going to get this information. Why? Because if we're not tenacious about getting this information, why would God send us visitors? I want my class to grow. I want our ministry to grow. Not for the sake of numbers, not for the sake of look at what we've done, but for the sake of the people that need Christ. So I want God to send me people, and I want God to know He can entrust my class with new people. We will greet them. We will direct them. We will get their information. We will pray for them. We will write them letters. We will visit them. We will call them. We will witness to them. We will minister to them. They will become a part of our family. We will do everything we can to communicate the love of Christ to them. But how can I do that if I don't know their name? How can I do that if I don't know their address? How can I do that if I don't know their phone number? This information is vitally important. It has to happen. These may be the most important papers you get on a Sunday morning as an adult Bible fellowship leader. So you want to be sure to get the cards filled out and to get them turned back in. I would encourage you, as you enlist someone that helps you with this, try to get that done in the pre-service and get them back and recognize those people in the class. You get what you recognize, you get what you platform. So you want to recognize first-time guests. Boy, what, it's a blessing Ryan's here today. This is his first time. Be sure to greet him afterwards and let him know it's a blessing to have him here. Well, number one, you're making big of a first-time guest. Number two, you're reminding your class it's important to go talk to the first-time guest. The first-time guest should get 10 or 12 handshakes before and after class. Hi, my name is Gabe. We're sure glad you're here. Thanks for coming today. It shouldn't be that he's just isolated, ostracized, and quarantined because he's new. And we've got to train the class in this direction, so this will help us. And so a connection card. Then something else we developed here and we gave you a sample of is an inter-office communication form. Now, let me quickly explain. And some here are wanting nuts and bolts. Some here are wanting different things. So if this isn't what you wanted, I'm sorry. I'll talk fast, all right? Here in our roll sheets, and I did not give you a copy of a roll sheet because it's very simple. It's just a list of names with a checkbox, and that's the way we do it here. So for my class, there's a roll of X number of people, their names in a checkbox, and I have a secretary that all she does on Sunday morning is take attendance and does it that way. Let me give you a side note. When you're taking attendance for your adult Bible fellowships, it should be done by name, not by head count. Why? Because how do you know who's not there? The parable of the 90 and 9. How did he know the sheep was missing? He counted. Well, ministry is not all about numbers. I agree, but he must have counted to know one was missing. So if I'm the shepherd of the flock of my class, I better know who's not there. I better be counting, and not just a head count. I better do it by name so I know, boy, this poor guy's missed 3 weeks in a row. Something must be going on. I need to get connected with them. So make sure you're taking attendance by name. And we do that here. And we use a program, Shelby. There's other ones that are maybe some better ones and so on. So we do that. But then we needed a form of communication. in order to communicate changes. And so we came up with this, and I gave you a sample in your outline, and it was a way to communicate changes back to the office. And again, you don't have to use what we're using. I'm just trying to give you some things that we developed and some ideas that we've kind of brainstormed to get you a brainstorming session to say, hey, we've got to get their information, we've got to keep our databases current, and we've got to figure out a way to get this information back to us. The old saying goes, God is in the details. And so we want to make sure these potential committed class members, that they're greeted, that they're directed, and then letter C, that they are treated, that they are treated. How do we want our first-time guests to feel? And I believe that we want them to feel like guests of honor. We want them to be treated with royalty. Why? Because God sent us somebody who's never been to our class or church before. What a treat. What a gift from God. We want them to be treated this way and to sense that. And so we want to be encouraged to train our class how to treat first-time guests. Listen to this thought. Unfamiliar faces are as intimidating to the church family as they are to the first-time guest. Unfamiliar faces are as intimidating to the church family as they are to the first-time guest. So if we're not careful, we have two things going on. We have a first-time guest coming in, kind of awestruck, kind of culture shock, not sure where to park, where to go, what classroom, whose seat, all of that. And then we have a church family who's awestruck. Here's somebody they don't know. They don't know their name. They don't know where they're from. They don't know anything about them. And so you have this awkward dynamic. And the class and the church needs to be trained. This is how we treat first-time guests. Boy, first-time guests are royalty. First-time guests are a gift from God. And everybody needs to have that sentiment. They're going to follow your leadership, and we want to make sure that we're training the class in this regard. We mentioned before, but fight the us for no more mentality. God did not give us the gospel for that kind of fellowship. Amen. And if you lead a class, and oftentimes classes can get in a rut like this, I want to tell you something. The best thing you can do to bust that kind of stuff up is get new people in that class. You just go reach new people. And you get them in there. And you start, hey, man, did you meet so-and-so? It's his first time today. Hey, now this guy's getting baptized at 11 o'clock. Can you walk him down the aisle? Now, I know you haven't been down the aisle in a year, but you take him down the aisle, and we're baptizing today. And you just get the people that have been there for a while that are struggling a little bit around some of these new people, and you keep reaching new people, and you get some life in that thing. And it's a great atmosphere changer. And so we want to make sure that they are treated and training the class and training the church and helping them to understand, hey, when people come to church, there's maybe they've been treated negatively, or maybe they have this perception or persona about what it's going to be like. We want to distill all of that and just give them a great first impression of what it's like to be like in church. And then train your class regard. And I would say this under treating potential guests is provide great refreshments. Provide great refreshments. And I don't know if you have refreshments in your classes, or sometimes maybe an auditorium is used and you can't do it or whatever. But if you can, have it. And again, that's a very simple thing. But it's amazing how an 8-ounce styrofoam cup of coffee, and somebody can hide behind that and feel a little more comfortable, you know? And sometimes it's a big help. And so I would encourage you, have some refreshments. Don't be skipping on it. Cut the donut in 8 pieces or something, you know? Get the donuts. Get the big ones. Make it nice. Do it right. And provide some good refreshments in that way. And so they need to be greeted. They need to be directed. They need to be treated. Then letter D, they need to be seated. Now, this is practical, and I told you it would be in the beginning, but these first-time guests need to be seated. You do not want your first-time guests looking for a seat. Now, maybe you're here last night, and you're looking for one, and we're sorry. We'll get more ushers, all right? But if someone's coming to your class, and they're not sure whose seat is what, and I mean, here's 5 open seats where they got Bibles or papers on them. They don't even know what that means, you know? And it's just an awkward feeling. And you want to make sure that you have a greeter who's got an infectious, a great first impression. They've got a class secretary that's helping you get the data accurate and certainly getting the information on your first-time guest, that you've got some refreshments, and that you're training your class to treat these potential class members with the love of Christ. And then you want to make sure you have some class ushers. And the class usher's job is to make sure they have a seat, and you want them to sit as close to the front as possible. Well, isn't that going to make them feel awkward? It's their first time. It's the best seat in the house. You want to put your guest close to the front. You want them right there where the things are happening. And so encourage the class to do that. So that's the meeting of potential committed class members. Now let's move on quickly. Number two, let's look at the making of committed class members. How are bonded, connected, rooted, committed class members developed? How do we make these types of class members? And let's look at a couple things. Letter A, see their potential. See their potential. Many of us in this room have the privilege of teaching adult Bible class. And wouldn't it be nice to have someone visit your class this Sunday. I teach a couples class. Wouldn't it be nice this Sunday to have a couple stroll in? Guy's got a suit on. Lady's got a dress on. They both got a copy of God's Word in their hand. You get to shaking their hand. They look clean cut, look sharp. He has a job. They have their own car they came to church in, you know. And you get to talking to them and they seem somewhat normal. I mean, that would be nice. I don't know about you. That's the vast minority for me. I've been here 9 months. I teach a couples class. I've done 9 weddings. Why? You're going to reach couples in 2013. You usually have some work to do. They meet Christ. Any man being Christ is a new creature. Man, we're not doing this right. We're not doing this right. We got counseling. We got this. We got this tragedy. I mean, you just roll up your sleeves. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of just kind of putting the pieces together. Now, by the way, that's another session, but that's why children's and youth ministries are so important that we can do all that. By the way, the answer to that is the home. Because we're reaching families where we're putting that back together, but those, for those precious little ones, there's the solution right there. If we can fix it for mom and dad, they're going to grow up and they're never going to know that. They're going to know mom and dad as husband and wife. They're going to know God as love. They're going to know the Word as truth. They're going to know all that. And that's the answer right there. And so we're making a difference in that regard. But you've got to see their potential. Boy, when they come and nothing is right and everything is out of sorts, hey, that's who Christ died for. That's whom He loves. That's the light of the harvest field. We have to see that. Not for who they are, but for who they could be through Christ. So we've got to see the potential. Letter B, we've got to minister to them. We've got to minister to them. We have to assess their needs. We need to help them. We need to help develop in them a sure foundation. And that's done through the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, how shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, if we are going to develop committed class members, we've got to see their potential in Christ, but then we've got to minister to them, and we've got to minister to them the entire counsel of the Word of God. We've got to be able to speak the truth in love. We have to be able to establish that relationship to have the foundation to be able to say, now these are the things in your life that aren't right. I love the idea from Dr. R.B. Roulette when you lead someone to Christ to then, and by way of assurance, as you're giving those verses, then to say, now on a scale of 1 to 10, now that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, John, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being great and 1 not being so good, what kind of a Christian would you like to be? And people tell me 10, 9, 8, typically something of that nature. And I'll say, man, that's awesome, John. That's great. I want to tell you something. I have the privilege of being a pastor, and it's kind of like a spiritual coach. And I think that's awesome that you want to be a 10. And if it's all right, I'd like to help you attain your goal. Would that be okay? Now it's his goal. It's not me telling him what to do. It's him wanting it. Now, John, here's a copy of God's Word. Here's a copy of a First Steps for New Believers. Here's a copy of a baptism brochure. If you're going to be a 10, you can't get to the top of the ladder without getting the first rung, and that's baptism. So let's make sure we get that in order. Oh, you're not married. Well, let's back up and get that squared away. Oh, and then you just start going. And the list will create itself. But you want to minister to them. Where does all that come from? The Word of God. Truth. Ministering to them the truth. Letter C, involve them. Involve them. Involve them. Get them involved. Take them soul winning. Well, they just got saved 2 weeks ago. That's okay. Man, they got a pack of cigarettes in this pocket and some tracks in this pocket. And here we go, you know. Man, get them involved. Let them begin to see the service of the Lord. And I recognize leadership requirements, and we have them as well. And you've got to be sensitive where you place people. But you want to get new Christians involved. Take them soul winning. Take them to lunch. Have them over to your home on a Sunday night after church. And by the way, if you're struggling with an Us For No More mentality class, you have some of those couples over with some brand new Christians. Amen. This couple's been here 8 years and all crusty and so forth. And here's this couple that got saved 2 weeks ago. Hey, tell them how you got saved. Man, isn't that great? I'm telling you, it's going to refresh. It's going to revive. It's going to renew. It's a wonderful thing. Involve them. Take them soul winning. Have them over. Ask them to help around the church. And maybe they can't go soul winning. Maybe they can't sing in the choir. But we can do a work night. We can do a bus wash activity. We can go sweep parking lots. We can do something. We can involve them in some way. I had a couple I was working with when I got here. I took over a class, and they gave me a roster, and there was a couple on it. And I, in the last 9 months, probably went to their home no less than 10 times, probably wrote them 20, 25 times, probably called them 30 times or more. Never one time came to class, to church, nothing. About 3 weeks ago on a Wednesday morning, the wife called me. She said, "Brother Rule, I'm so-and-so." And I knew her name. My wife and I have been praying for her, but never came. Met her at the door, but never came to church. And she said, "My husband got arrested last night, and I didn't know what to do, so I just opened my Bible, and there was your card from one of the letters you sent me. And I thought, well, maybe I should call." And we began to pray, and her husband got out, and they came to class and to church. 9 months, they came to class and to church first time. Suzanne and I took them out for lunch after the service, and they're at a diner table, had the privilege of leading the Lord. And then they weren't married. So I picked them up, drove them down to the county court records office. We stood in line, and we filed, and we got the marriage certificate. And last Saturday, we met in a classroom over here in the Revels building, about 20 family members. They got married. Sunday, family of seven, got baptized, 11 o'clock. Last night in that Monday night program on the second stair, there they were. Now, that's not because of me. But when you see the potential of what could happen through Christ, and when you begin to minister to them, when you strive to involve them, by the way, they got saved on a Sunday. Monday night, we had a class activity. The entire family came. That Friday night, we had a work night here on the campus preparation for this conference. The entire family was here. They're pulling weeds. They're putting bark in planters. I mean, this is like their third time in church, and they had a work night already. I mean, you can't get people who have been here 10 years to do that, you know. And yes, we can. We've got some great people. There's some longer tenure members in here. I got to make sure we cover the balance there. But get the rookie in trouble here. But anyway, so involve them. Involve them. Letter D. Connect them to others. Connect them to others. This is key. How do we develop committed class members? Well, the first impression's got to be right. And hope and pray that we'll just take a practical idea home. Then we've got to develop them. Now, this is going to begin with the relationship with you. And on a smaller class setting, it can be more so. As the class begins to grow, you begin to, yes, have a connection with them. As the leader, you've got to have a connection with them. I think you could have a class of several hundred and have a good personal connection as a good leader with every one of them. But there is a great strength to connecting with other people. Connecting with other people. And by that, I mean you want to be intentional and you want to be strategic. You have a relationship with them as their teacher. But who's their care group leader? Who's their soul winning partner? Who's their discipler? Who have they been to the home with? Who are they fellowshipping with? And there's a great strength to connecting people to others. When someone is connected to a lot of people, they rarely leave the church. When they've got one or two friends in the whole church, to leave is not that big of a deal. But when they feel intimately connected to lots of people, why would they want to go? So then when pastor stands and preaches a hard message and maybe steps on their toes a bit in an area in which they need to grow, hey, they take it, but they know I'm loved here and I'm connected to people here and they stick with it. So in the development of committed class members, be sure to connect them to as many people as you possibly can. The goal is not to connect everyone to you and I. The ultimate goal is to connect them to Jesus Christ. And in the context of the church, is connect them to as many people as we possibly can. How are committed class members developed? Number three, then we see the maintaining of committed class members. Now, the meeting, the first impression is important. The making, the development of it is a lot of work. But wouldn't it be nice once they got to that point where it was Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, tithing, soul winning, you know, doing right, that you could just kind of, okay, you're done. Now you stay there and we're going to go get some more. It doesn't work that way. You get to a certain point in ministry and leading a class, you do both all the time. You're reaching people and maintaining. You're reaching people and you're maintaining. You're reaching people, you're encouraging, you're counseling, you're working through something. It's a constant balance act. Now, you can't just devote to this, be an aquarium keeper and make sure everything's okay, because now we've lost the fervor and the reaching of new people. But I can't just devote my entire work to this, which this is a lot of fun. Man, reaching new people, seeing people saved, seeing people baptized and lives changed. This is exciting, but I can't let that go either. So I have to have a balance of reaching these new people and seeing them progress through that. But then I've got to have the balance of maintaining what I have to keep the committed class member where they need to be. So how can I help these class members maintain a sense of bondedness, connection, commitment to the things of the Lord? A couple thoughts. Letter A, pray for them. Pray for them. Now, I know we say that, and at conferences like this, it's like, yeah, here's another session. We're just supposed to pray for them, you know. And I know that you do it. But I just want to encourage you. It's not the only thing you can do for them, but it is the most important thing you can do for them. Amen. There's no doubt all of us in ministry have been in a season, maybe alone with the Lord, and been convicted that I've spent far more time this week talking to people about God than I have talking to God about people. And sometimes in developing people and working with people, I have to be reminded personally to just go to God. Because He can change our heart like the rivers of water. And I've tried and I've written letters and I've made visits and I've exhausted what I can do in the arm of the flesh, and it's not happening. But boy, God can come in and change it. And how can we maintain these committed class members? Pray for them. And I want to encourage you to pray for your class by name. My wife and I for years have developed the habit of every Sunday morning getting up early and taking our class roster, and I think today it's maybe 160 or so names, and we just pray through it by name on Sunday morning. And that doesn't make us great Christians, but we want to be committed to this thing as well. And we just pray for them by name. By the way, what a blessing it is on Sunday morning to stand outside of class and pray for you this morning. Man, I'm glad you came. Man, you haven't been here in 3 weeks and you're back. This is great, you know, or whatever the case may be. Boy, it just gives you energy coming into Sunday morning, what the Lord's going to do. So pray for them. Pray for them by name. You might break them up and do it over certain days or whatever, but be sure you're praying for them. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Boy, be praying for your class. And let your class know you're praying for them. Just write them a simple note. Hey, I just want you to know I thought about you and pray for you today. And modern technology, how easy is that? Send a text. Pray for you today. Just connect all the time. Connect, connect, connect. Stay connected. Keep them encouraged. Pray for them. And let them know you want to be an encouragement to them. How can we maintain these committed class members? Pray for them. Letter B, notice when they're absent. Notice when they're absent. Now, again, this is a simple, practical thought. And I'm a simple, practical guy. But notice when they're absent. Again, I cannot properly lead, steward, manage, shepherd a flock, a class of people, and go home on Sunday afternoon and have no idea who was there. Oh, we had a good day today. They laughed. We sang. It was great. We ate donuts. But I have no idea who was there. I have no idea who was absent. And I'm sure that's not the state of what we're doing here. But I'm telling you, we got to be tenacious about what's happening in those moments. Why? Because God's going to hold us accountable. God gave those people to me for that 45, 50, 55-minute slot, whatever you have, less or more. And God wants me to get something done for Him in that time. And I've got to steward the responsibility of the awesome privilege of ministering to them. And so we want to notice when they are not there. We want to be tenacious about it. I want to encourage you to be attendance conscious. Just always kind of figuring out who's here, who's not here. You know, Baptists, they sit in the same place, they do the same things, you know. So it makes it a little easier on us. But man, who's here, who's not here, those types of things. Be tenacious about it. I put in your outline a copy of a what we call a weekly snapshot. And Ryan, can I steal yours for one quick second? I didn't have one up here. Let me just kind of walk you through this. If I give you a resource, an idea today that I probably have benefited from more than anyone, it's this one right here, okay? And I get this every Monday morning of my life, and I use Evernote, and I place this in Evernote, and I can pull up Evernote right now on my phone, and I have 9 months of weekly snapshots right there that I can review. And it's something I use all the time in ministry oversight, okay? And here's what it is. We do it by classes. This is a sample here, but in the top section, we put who visited class Sunday. Now, of course, you're going to know that because you use the connection card. So you have a connection card. You have a class secretary whose job that is. You have ushers who take those people to that person. She makes sure they fill it out legibly, completely, and get it back. Doesn't do any good to give it to them if you don't get it back. So you've got to put someone tenacious. I want a lady who will climb over a pew to get a connection card. I mean, I want someone as passionate about getting a connection card back as I am about teaching that morning. That's who I want doing that position. I don't want to hear after class, well, they didn't want to turn it in. Okay, you're going to do something else next week. Let's, you know, here we go. I want someone passionate about getting that card. You know, a good people person is going to get the job done. Why? What are we going to do if we don't even know how to follow up on them? You know, anyway, that's another session. So first-time visitors, that information goes there. Then we've divided this up with 1 week absentee, 2 week absentee, 3 week absentee. And I don't have time to develop all this. This could be another session, but let me just tell you very quickly. First-time visitor. Here's what I do. First-time visitor. Handwritten note on Monday. It goes in the mail on Monday. They get it Tuesday. Email Monday afternoon. Thanks for being our guest. What a blessing to have you. Hope and pray the teaching was a blessing. I want you, I'm praying for you this week. I want to invite you back for next Sunday. In every communication, my handwritten letter, my email, on the phone, I'm always inviting them back the next Sunday. I'm thanking them for coming, but I'm not ending that phone conversation until I invite them back. So I'll email them. So a handwritten letter Monday morning, a email Monday afternoon, a full call Monday afternoon. Hey, Bill, just want to call. Boy, it was a blessing to have you and Sally in class yesterday. What a joy it was to have you visit with us. Hey, I'm going to be out tomorrow night in the community just making visits, and I want to know if I could just stop by and get to know you a little bit better and tell you about what God's doing in our class and church. Would that be all right? I'll try to set an appointment. If they can't do it Tuesday night, when can they do it? You know, I'll go see them at midnight. I just want to make sure I get connected with them eyeball to eyeball in the first 6 days after they visit. I'm not going till next Sunday and not seeing the white of their eyes. Why? Because God gave them to me as a visitor. Now, if I want visitors, if I want to influence people, then I better prove to God I'm in business. Then I'm going to get after this thing. So I'm going to go visit. So I'm going to handwrite them a letter. I'm going to email them. I'm going to call them. Then I'm going to go visit them. When I go visit them, I'm going to take a Bible, a baptism brochure, and a First Steps for New Believers book. Why? Because I'm going with the anticipation I'm going to lead them to the Lord. That's what I anticipate every time I make a follow-up visit. That's my expectation. That's what's going to happen. So I visit with them. Man, John, it was a blessing to have you in class on Sunday. I hope and pray you enjoyed that. How'd you hear about Lancaster Baptist Church? Oh, that's great. Church has been a big part of your background. Oh, okay. Man, I'd like to have you come back on Sunday. John, even more important than going to church is to know for sure we're going to spend an eternity. If you're to face eternity, if you're to die right now, do you know 100% sure we spend an eternity? You don't. Could I take a few minutes and show you from the Word of God you can know? Let me grab my New Testament and show you. Now, witness to him. And then I'm going to ask him, you want to be a 1 or a 10? I want to be a 10. Great. Here's a copy of God's Word. Why? Because I can't be with that new convert 24-7, but Satan will be.
That's right.
So I better give him something. And I can't think of anything better to give him than a copy of God's Word. And then I give him a copy of First Step for New Believers because it gets them in God's Word. And then they begin to study those things. And then I talk about baptism. If I have the privilege to lead some of the Lord, I always talk to them about baptism right there. Why? Because that's the I want. When I leave, they had to know what's next. That's what's next. That's the next rung on the ladder. That's where we're going. We're going towards baptism. Now, again, in a couple's class and in today's culture, you may have a couple hurdles to get there, but it's the joy of the ministry. So here we go. So you're working them through all of that. So that's what's happening on the visit. Then, if I do that on Tuesday night, I might call them Saturday. Man, I enjoyed being there. By the way, if I visit them Tuesday night and they get saved, I'm writing a letter Wednesday morning. Man, what a blessing it was to be in the house last night. What a thrill to show you from God's Word how to be saved. Man, I'm excited. I want to encourage you to work through that First Steps New Believers. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. That's letter number two. They'll get that on Thursday. Then on Saturday, I'm going to phone call them. And man, I enjoyed having you last Sunday. What a blessing to be with you on Tuesday. Excited to see you tomorrow, 10 a.m., Rebels 309. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. And then, Lord willing, they'll come back. So that's a handwritten letter on Monday, an email, a phone call, a visit, another letter, and another phone call. Six touches, 6 days, Sunday to Sunday. Doesn't make me a great guy. And for some people, maybe over the board, but it's working for me. But it's just something, if God's going to entrust in me an opportunity to steward a soul, I'm going to do everything I can. So this helps me. It gives me all that information. Then 1 week, 2 week, 3 week absentees. This was an idea I got from Pastor Mike Ray years ago, and I still use it. For every 1 week absentee, I write a letter. Very simply on Monday morning, I'll write them a letter. Hey, so-and-so, I missed you. Just want you to know that I love you. I'm praying for you. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday. They might have been out of town. They might have been sick. I may have known they weren't going to be there. I may not have known, but I write them a letter. For two-week absentees, I send them a postcard, and I call them on the phone. Just a simple little touch. Send them a postcard. Let them know I missed them. Let them know I love them, praying for them. And I call them on the telephone. Hey, I know she missed 2 weeks in a row. And again, they might have been sick. Might have been out of town. Who knows? But the phone call is going to help me to have that personal connection in case there's something wrong. So now I haven't gone 6 weeks, I've only gone two, and I've got a personal touch. So now I can send something on the phone. If we're going south or something's awkward, I know it 2 weeks into it and I can jump on it. 3 week absentees, personal visit. Personal visit. Every Saturday of my life, I go visit 3 week absentees. Why? I haven't been there in 3 weeks. Now, I don't have a lot of people in my class that vacation 3 weeks in a row, all right? We don't have that kind of vacation time. So that's not where they are, all right? Something's going on. So I'm going to go find out what it is. So personal visit 3 weeks. Then on the bottom of this, something we do here, and I'll teach about this more tomorrow on discipleship, we track discipleship. So I know in my class, and this is just kind of a sample, there's a few more, but in my class, I know who's in discipleship, who's discipling them, what lesson they're on, and when's the last time they met. And this is something I look at every Monday, and this is something I give to every teacher of classes in our ministry every week by the end of Monday. so they can settle their own. We've trained them how to use this so they can set their own appointments. Everything I just told you to do is what we expect them to do. We've trained them to do it. And this is how we're working it right here through the weekly snapshot. So hopefully that'll be help and a blessing to you. So notice when they are not there. Let us see when we got to hasten. Spend time with them. How do we maintain these committed class members? Spend time with them. Remember all the time you spent with them when they were getting saved and new and you were investing all that time and now they're a bit more faithful. And if we're not careful, we've got so much energy and time over here, we got to keep that balance. And again, taking these people with us on hospital visit, taking these people with us to go hear some preaching out of town, having these people over to our home with some new people. Look for leaders in the ministry seldomly do anything alone. You don't go to lunch alone. You don't go to the hospital alone. You don't make visits alone. You don't do anything alone. Why? Because you need to minister to people. So you're constantly looking at what can I do with somebody? Who can I take with me to do this? I want to get two birds with one stone and redeem the time. So spend time with them. Letter D, encourage them to minister to others. The greatest way to maintain committed class members is encourage them to do what you're doing. Encourage them to be ministering to other people. Be specific. Be intentional. Help them. But you are helping them to live with eternity in mind. And I want to say this as a side note. This is good for tired people. Sometimes people will come and say, you know what? I'm tired and I just need a break. And sometimes that may be a legitimate thing, but oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes it's a spiritual condition more than it is a condition of fatigue. And we want to encourage that person who's been around for a while to stay at it, to stay in it. It's going to help them maintain this committed status. So it's the meeting of them. It's the first impression. It's the making and the developing. Then it's the maintaining. I got to keep all the plates on this side going, and I got to keep all the plates on this side going. But then lastly, as we close quickly, I want you to see number four, the merit of committed class members. This is a reward for the work. This is the blessing for the investment that you have made as a leader in their life. Letter A, they're loving. They're loving people. They love God. They love their family. They love the church. They love the pastor. They love the class. They love you. They're loving people. They're committed. They're invested. They're not a renter. They're an owner. They're not a salesman. They're a satisfied customer. I mean, they're in. They're loving people. And that's the merit. That's the product of developing committed class members. And that's what many of our classes need, certainly my own. So they're loving. Number next, they're faithful. Dr. Bobby Robertson, pastors the same church, I think, 57, 58 years now, was asked years ago by some folks in a meeting, Pastor Robertson, what's one of the nicest things your church has ever done for you? He paused and thought about it for a moment, looked back at the group of men and said, just faithfully being in their place. One of the most encouraging things to a pastor is to know they're going to be there. I don't have to worry. I don't have to call. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to have a backup plan. They're going to be. If they're not there, they're dead. They're going to be there. And by the way, we want that in our class. There's a small army that makes my class run every Sunday morning. I walk in and teach. And I'm thankful. But I don't have to wonder if we're going to have refreshments. I don't have to wonder if we're going to have bulletins or a greeter or folks with the response card and pens or ushers or baskets or paperwork. Or secretaries, or all of that. And we've enlisted them, we've trained them, and we've loved them, and we've thanked them, but they're faithful. They're going to be there. And I'm thankful for that. And so we thank the Lord for that product. I want to show you this. They say that 15% of people who attend church and join, but only attend a worship service, after 5 years, only 15% of those people stay. Conversely, if they get plugged into an adult Bible fellowship or Sunday school class, 87% after 5 years are still there. There's a huge difference between the 11 a.m. attender and someone plugged into an adult Bible fellowship. Why? They're committed. They're committed. They're in. They're plugged in. They know people. There's accountability. Somebody following this knows when they're not there. Somebody's loving them. Somebody's caring for them. Somebody's doing those types of things. And so it's helping them to be faithful. Letter C, they're accountable. They're accountable. They're not intimidated or offended. If you're asking them where they were, they appreciate it. In fact, many times as they become committed class members, they're letting you know, hey, next month I'm going to be gone this Sunday, and I tried to get out of it, but we couldn't, but I got so-and-so to cover my spot, or I just wanted you to know. And you're going to develop that kind of an atmosphere, and it's a wonderful thing. They're accountable. And then letter D, they're producing. They're producing. They are the ones helping you to grow the class, not just numerically, but spiritually. And that's the merit and that's the reward of a committed class member. And I don't know about you, I count it a great privilege to be in the ministry, whether you're on paid staff or volunteer, however it is the Lord has led you to do what you do. I pray we leave here reminded it's a privilege to do anything for the Lord. And it's a privilege to work with people. When you and I do that for the Lord, it's going to count for all of eternity. And I don't know about you, but when I do that, I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm constantly looking for how can I do this better. And I pray today, maybe something said's been encouragement. Maybe something today's been an idea. Just a little thing you're doing a great job, but maybe just a little thing you could tweak that would make it a little bit better. And I hope and pray it's that. If you've got an idea for us, let us know. We want to learn as well. Thank you for being here, part of the conference, and at this session. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege to serve. Thank you for the privilege to be commissioned to go out and to reach people, to open your word and to teach it, and to minister to people, to love them, and to care for their needs. And God, thank you for these dear servants, teachers and adult ministry leaders and overseers and pastors and staff and all of these dear servants of your cause. And God, I pray that today they would be encouraged. I pray today maybe just a simple idea share would be a resource or a moment of equipping that would help them. And God, I pray that as they return home, that you would give them fervent and fruitful ministry that's effective. And indeed, through their personal ministry, through your spirit and power, that they're developing committed class members and church members. And we'll sure praise and thank you for those opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen.